Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today we are joined by entrepreneur, podcast host, and star of MTV Siesta Key, Juliette Porter. Juliette came to recognition in 2017 after being cast as a main personality on MTV's hit reality show following a group of friends in Siesta Key, Florida. In addition to being on reality TV, Juliette has expanded her career endeavors by getting into the retail and podcast space. Juliette co-founded a designer swimwear and apparel brand focused on natural beauty and body positivity called JMP The Label, which she has helped grow since 2021. She also started a podcast with friend Sebastian called Don't Be Ridiculous, which she co-hosts on a weekly basis. We're going to discuss all things Siesta Key, where she sees her reality TV career going from here, details on JMP The Label, and all of the ups and downs of being an entrepreneur. Juliette, thank you so much for being on Trading Secrets.
Oh my gosh, what an intro.
Yeah, we got it. That's what we do here. We pump it up, make you feel good, and then I disarm, and then hopefully I get some good information from you. We've been trying to get you on the podcast now. I think it's been 3 years.
Very long time.
Tough person to track down.
I'm happy to be here. I'm feeling good.
How are you feeling?
It's good. Luckily, I called it a little early last night, so I got my beauty sleep.
I like it. All right. Well, you're here. You're killing it. Let's go back to your story. 2017, it all started, right? So you were in school at this point.
Yes.
And you're studying, and what I read is that you were working in hospitality. You're a bartender, and then you took a shot on reality TV. Were you doing anything full time professionally before you went into the reality show?
So we filmed the pilot of Siesta Key when I was 17, so definitely not. Then I went to Florida State University, and I was about, I think I was 19, when they called me and said they were picking up the show. And I was majoring in political science. I wanted to be a lawyer, which is funny looking back now. I don't think I could ever have that life. But then, we started filming, and so I guess it would have been hard to see a life that wasn't revolved around being on reality TV at this point. Like, it shaped who I am, who I was at the time. And I don't know where I would be had I not been so young at that age, starting.
Maybe an attorney, maybe not.
I really think that I would have went to law school, and I was like a solid B student.
Okay.
So maybe like a mediocre law school at best. And I just don't see, like, that's not really who I was at my core and who I am now. And I think, what a blessing it was to have this opportunity thrown on me.
It's pretty wild. I went in reality TV at 29. A lot of our guests go in their 20s or 30s.
Yeah.
To think about 17 starting is mayhem. How did you work the business side of it? Like, when the first, you guys had 5 seasons.
Yeah.
First season starts, you're supposed to get paid. Who's negotiating for you? How do you figure that out at 17, 19 years old?
So we had the director of Siesta Key is a good friend of mine. He kind of set us up because he knew we were kids. And he found us a talent manager, lawyer, who worked with a lot of the MTV cast. Like, my manager is also Snooki's manager, so it's like an MTV family thing. So that was nice. He negotiated our contracts. It starts out pretty low pay, I think, across the board. I mean, I don't know. At least from my experience, most first season shows are like $20,000 a season.
Yeah.
I was getting $1,500 an episode.
Honestly. I've heard a lot less than that, too.
Yeah, I think we got lucky from what I've heard.
But 20 grand for
at
a season
18.
At 18 is pretty damn good.
I grew up very middle class. Like, having $20,000 in the bank was insane.
Crazy. All right, so then you go to season 2, 3, 4, 5. How does it look from there?
Yeah, I think season 2, I made about $60,000 that year, but we did double the amount of episodes. So there's this thing, and I'm sure you know, in reality TV, or maybe just scripted shows in general, they do like a part A and part B. And so you're only allowed a certain amount of seasons, like, per year contractually.
Okay.
So they try to like fit in as many as they could, but calling it like season 1A and 1B keeps it in like the contract, so they can't up your pay. So I did, double the amount of work season 2.
I actually did not know this.
Really?
That's great. So they'll keep it in one season.
And they call
so
it like part 1, part 2, part A, part B. Yeah.
Because if it was another season, you'd
you can't call it season 3 because then that's a new contract. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
So that's like 60. And I mean, that's damn good money at like 20.
Yeah. I mean,
and then from there, it just keeps going up double, triple.
And now I'm a billionaire.
You're a billionaire from Siesta Key. Yep. All right. What was the best payday from Siesta Key, looking back on
it? Okay. So
you're like so hesitant. You're like, should I?
Yeah, I'm like, this is actually alcohol. Fun talking about money.
What's that? I know, tequila shot. We would have got the
drink
answer.
Right now. Quick intermission. We're going to get wasted. No, so I got, so I was narrating the show.
Okay.
And
for people that don't know what that means, what does that mean?
I was literally narrating. I voice over, for example, it would be like, I didn't know how I felt about their relationship, but looking back now, and that would be like me talking over a scene.
Okay.
Narrating.
Yeah.
So I would narrate it, and we would all have to get paid, for the sake of fairness, the same episodically.
Mm.
And I tried to, you know, fight it because I was sort of the main character. I was. I just don't want
to
sound like a douche.
You don't have to be. A little humble brag.
So what I would do was I would negotiate my narration fee to be like huge.
Got it.
Right? So I got, I don't know, something like I would get $120,000 for narration.
Wow.
And that would be about, I think, total maybe 5 hours of work.
Damn.
Whether you're running a cafe, salon, boutique, or something entirely on your own, Square will give you the flexibility to grow at your own pace and even set up an online store in just a few clicks. It's your all-in-one business partner, making your day-to-day easier. From a point-of-sale system and payments to inventory and customer tools, Square brings everything together in one simple platform. And right now, listeners can get up to $200 off Square hardware when you sign up at square.com/go/tradingsecrets. That's Square, SQUARE.com/go/tradingsecrets. Visit Square to get started because the right tools make all the difference. I remember from my first company to my current company, and that first company was creating resumes for other people. I would take payment with Square. Square is the best option out there. Just go to square.com/go/tradingsecrets.
So that's a good little workaround.
Yeah, so that was
that's
what we would do.
I think that's a good, like, for anyone that's listening, in any contract, anywhere, there's mm-hmm. always an angle to, like, carve something out for yourself.
Right.
Even if you're in a situation where everyone's going to be paid the same. Mm-hmm. There's always a way to do that.
Yeah.
All right, so season five wraps, and at this point, you're 24, 23?
I think it was 25, 24 or 25.
Okay,
yeah, 24. Yeah, this is 2022.
Yeah. Let's go back. So you've been in this game for 2017. You've had mm-hmm. Relationships publicly, you've had breakups publicly,
yeah.
You've had entrepreneurial activity, you've had social media. So you've kind of touched it all, and it's been three, five, it's going to be 8 years, mm-hmm. 8 years going on nine.
Mm-hmm.
What has been, let's go three components. What has been the biggest struggle in your personal life from this type of business? I'm going to do personal, professional, and financial, but personally, with all the noise, what's been the biggest struggle?
Personal life, I would say managing relationships within filming a show is difficult because there's always, I mean, it's a show based off drama and conflict. That was always the biggest issue. And everybody seeing your business, and you have to be open on a show like that. You can't hide anything.
Because especially, if you do, then it's bad entertainment.
Well, so that's what, yes. And so then to tie into financial and, you know, my career, it's like, what a difficult situation it was for me at that time to have my personal life be also my career.
Especially at that age.
You can't, there's no differentiation between it. You can't separate it.
Yeah.
And so it was such a constant internal battle of, no, I don't want everyone to know my boyfriend cheated on me.
Sure.
Right? For example, even though that's actually what happened. but then I also do want them to know because I want to relate with the people that watch. I want to get more screen time because then I want to make more money. So it's just so many angles that it would be very difficult. But yeah, I think it was navigating what I wanted the public to see within these like intimate parts of how I feel and who I am. And I mean, there was times where, first of all, like they're filming me drunk, something you wouldn't want people to see typically. Right. Filming me sobbing, all of this stuff, which was just, I always had to remind myself, like, this is what they need to see.
Mm.
And it did feel good. The one thing I loved about that was the viewers, whether it was, you know, them messaging me online or all this stuff, telling me how they related. And that just made me feel like, okay, I like that I'm not alone, and I like that people are seeing themselves in me, and it's some sort of, you know, like cathartic experience for them.
Yeah, I would say that's probably where my biggest struggle is, actually sharing details like that.
It's a skill.
It's a skill. You've mastered it. Is there anything you have shared, like when it comes to a breakup or some of the things you've been questioning sharing that you regret?
I don't really have any regrets. I mean, I think everything, I definitely have decisions I wish I, you know, thought about a little bit longer, but I don't really regret sharing everything. I wish I went about certain situations probably differently, maybe asking some of my boyfriends in the past how they felt about things,
sure.
You know, how it made them feel, especially for men. I feel like at least the men I've dated have a hard time opening up emotionally, whether it's just even to me. So to kind of ask how they feel about being on camera, mm-hmm. how they feel about trying to be open for everybody to see, I wish I kind of, you know, talk to them about that a little more, or my friends, everything, my parents, how did they feel about it? But no, I have no regrets. I mean, I'm not really a type of person that regrets much. I mean, I do, don't get me wrong, but it is who I am. It's where I'm now, and I've learned.
It happened. It's part of your journey. You are where you are today. A lot of people come from reality TV and not at such a young age, but they say that their relationship like journey would have been dramatically different. Like a lot of people have said, oh, I would have been married with kids and things like that if I wasn't in this space.
Yeah.
Do you feel that at all?
I actually don't. Huh? I'm 27. I just knew to my core, like I was never going to be one of those girls that got married.
Yeah.
I was never going to be like a small town girl. And I'm from a small town. All my friends back home are married with kids, my best friends. And it's actually been, that's what I've been kind of dealing with this year a lot is like, that's the life I left behind.
Okay.
And I want to get married, but I never saw myself as like a mother at 26, 27.
You have plenty of time.
Yeah.
No rush. So you are good. All right. Let's go to financial struggle and success. So since getting into this show, obviously you went to school, you didn't pursue a professional career as an attorney or the track you're going to go. You took a whole different detour. What has been your biggest professional struggle over the last however many years now, 10 years?
Yeah, I think something that I've had to deal with is maybe somewhat having to put on like a performance of having to wear the nicest clothing, have the bags, have the jewelry, all that stuff, go on the trips, live the lifestyle. And that's people's biggest downfall, I think, financially, is trying to almost like impress people rather than saving your money. And I think sometimes I just like will spend on a whim when I should be a little more frugal. But I also kind of have this mentality where, I don't know, you're the finance guy. You're probably going to judge me for this.
Let's hear it. No judgment here. That's the point of the podcast.
Right.
No judgment, just learning.
I'm like, I'm going to buy that ticket. I'm going to go on that trip. And I don't care if I have I don't have the number I want in my savings account. I rather have like the experiences in life, and
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think as long as like your foundation is set and you know that, then let it go. Have a good time. Forget about it. There's a lot of people out there in this space that have come on the show and say they'll tell people fake it till you make it, or they'll say the opposite. They'll say, who gives a shit what you wear? Just be you and don't worry about it.
Right.
Do you feel at all with like when you say like you're trying to like kind of keep up with the brand or the image of the other people that like there is, you kind of do have to fake it to make it in this world? Like, do you think that's a thing?
I feel like in the world I am in, it's more so I feel like I have to kind of, my brand is like fashion.
Yeah.
I feel like I do kind of need to keep up in that sense. And I am kind of the type of girl that's like, I want it. I have to get it. I'll figure out how to get it. So, I mean, not really fake it till you make it, but I feel like it's also kind of part of my career.
Yeah.
And it's where I want my career to go. I want to be in fashion. I see myself continuing on this path. Like, as you know, I own a swimwear brand. It is who I am. So in that sense, it's not really about like how designer it is, but everything's so expensive these days. I mean, everything I see on Revolve, all that stuff. So I will overspend on that stuff, probably more than I should.
One of my biggest hacks for staying in shape, energetic, and feeling good is the supplements that I take. And the supplements I've been taking for a while are all under the umbrella of Symbiotica. Now, I have a discount code at the end, but what I take is their liquid packets. And here are three supplements I'd highly recommend you check out. The first one is their magnesium. Did you know that
over 65% of adults in the U.S. are magnesium deficient. This can cause muscle cramps, brain fog, headaches, and even insomnia. Now, I take my magnesium right before bed every single day. And with Symbiotica's magnesium, it's the only form of magnesium that crosses the blood-brain barrier and delivers nutrients straight to your brain, unlike other forms. It skips the digestion and works directly to improve memory, focus, and mood. The second one I would highly recommend you getting is the glutathione. Did you know that your body naturally makes glutathione, but as you hit your late 20s and 30s, those levels start to dip off? What glutathione will also help you do is recharge your cells, and it also helps you fight off toxins and age gracefully. And then last but not least, their vitamin C. Their vitamin C in one packet has the equivalent of the same vitamin C in 10 oranges. Each packet really packs a punch. Not only does vitamin C strengthen your immunity, but the biotin in the formula keeps your skin plump and radiant. So if you want your skin to be glowing, this product is for you. Now, what you're going to do, go to Symbiotica.com/trading secrets. That's going to give you 20% off plus free shipping today. That is Symbiotica.com/trading secrets for 20% off your order plus free shipping.
Okay, we're going to get into your swimwear line here in just a second. Before we do, you're teeing me up for the question. What is like the most outrageous thing that you've bought for an outfit, jewelry? What was the cost? Give it to me.
I mean, myself, I did just spend like $4,000 on an outfit for Art Basel.
Wow, what brand was it?
Area.
And when do you wear it? Like,
I wore it the other night, and the jacket's like has a huge stain on it now.
Oh no, brutal! Yeah. All right, but hopefully you got a good picture from it.
Hopefully someone buys it off my LTK. Something.
There
like
you
that.
Go. You'll do that. Get a little kickback. Yeah. All right, now let's talk about financially the biggest win you've had. So we talked about some of the things that you struggle with, mm-hmm. but financially over this year, that you're like, this was it. This was I won't forget this one.
I mean, my biggest paycheck for a brand deal was with Daxxify.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
I actually don't know.
It's like an alternative Botox.
Okay. And I've done more Dysport. Dysport. I'm in a deal right now with Dysport.
You look great. You're frozen.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Just the 11s. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't feel great right now, so that's good. I'm a little tired.
I actually just had like a Botox nightmare where my entire, like, she changed the shape of my eyebrows, all of this stuff. My face was frozen. I had like a headache for 3 weeks. You have to be careful with that stuff.
Wow. So what do you do when that happens?
So actually what you do is you take one of those vibrating like facial machines. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And it actually helps the Botox dissolve.
You unfreeze your machine, your
like,
face.
I was like putting it on my eyebrows for like 10 minutes a day.
Wow.
And it actually worked.
Okay.
Going back to the deal, great payday, right? But I did.
Give me an idea.
Oh, it was $60,000.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congrats.
I thought that's pretty good for like one TikTok, one reel.
Yeah. Real quick to just for people back home, I think this is interesting. Mm-hmm. When you are dealing with any type of pharmaceutical or you're dealing with any type of healthcare mm-hmm. product, there are so many disclosures that you have to put, of course, to meet all the FTC guidelines. As a result of that, most influencers, creators are going to want to avoid that because it's just like too mm-hmm. much. It comes off as too. And that's right. This is what I'm thinking, right? So as a result of that, the premiums for those deals are much higher.
They're large. Yeah.
So for people back
right.
home.
Beauty, yeah. For anyone that is like a striving to be an influencer in that world, skincare has a lot of money, right? So what doesn't have a lot of money, and from what I've seen, is apparel. You're not going to get a lot of money for brand deals there. What's some other ones? I know it's skincare, makeup does pretty well.
I would even argue in the skincare beauty world, it's become so saturated that there's so much competition. So your average deal size has gone up. But the big deals have become mm-hmm. much bigger. Mm-hmm. And what would you say? What would you say is an area?
F&B huge.
What's that?
F&B.
Oh, I think food and beverage is probably maybe the biggest, honestly. Mm-hmm. The amount of food and beverage creators we have out there that just
really?
Do. Yeah, I mean, the inquiries they get, it's next level. It's
insurance
nonstop.
And banking?
Insurance and banking, I think, is pretty good. I'd say finance is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Because as someone who does business creator, mm-hmm. what happens is your deal volume goes down. but the length of your deals become longer
yeah.
and become much more significant mm-hmm. because they really have to find someone that's credible that also has engagement. So that's
what
I found
in that space. What's like a big brand that's doing a lot of deals right now, you would say?
Like Capital One,
yes,
TurboTax.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so we hit financial, we hit mm-hmm. personal. Let's go to professional. So what has been, let's start on a high note. What's been your marquee, your trophy case professionally? You're like, this is it. This is what I'm most proud of.
I did my first swim week show in 2022 for my brand. I think why it felt so large professionally was because it was almost like a tangible win. Mm-hmm. Like you have the actual show, you're in the show, you have the audience. It's because my business is D2C, it's all online. So I don't get to, you know, really feel the effects of the success as much. I see the numbers and all that stuff. But when I had that actual swim week show here in Miami, it was like, it was all in front of me. I could see it.
Yeah.
And it felt real. And I feel like that was definitely my, however, it was so much work and it felt very quick. And I was very anxious at the time because as a business owner, I struggle with, what's the term for, you don't know if like you deserve it.
Like imposter syndrome. Okay.
Yeah. So it felt, I think at the time I'm like walking down the runway and it was all these pieces that I created with my own brand. And I was like, oh my God, like, is this real life? I think that's something I struggle with a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something I really need to break out of a little bit. But I do feel like a lot of people have this problem.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
But then you start to realize 90% of the room feels the same way.
Right.
And with imposter syndrome, when no matter what room you're in, there's something you have that differentiates you. So like, scan the room, feel what it is,
mm-hmm.
know what differentiates you,
yeah.
and then just go attack whatever that is.
Yeah.
All right. So you do your swim week. Tell me again the title of it. 2022?
2022 Miami Swim Week, JMP the label.
Okay, JMP yeah. the label, swim week, you do it. When you do an event like that, mm-hmm. I'm always curious.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the business side of it. You got to pay the people, the models to run, right?
Yeah, so I think, oh my gosh, this is a couple years ago now. I think we had 30 models.
And do you pay them or do they volunteer?
Yes, you pay. But they, so the models during swim week get paid less because it's usually at the same venue. So they're not like traveling or anything and it's only 30 minutes of work, but then they do a bunch of brands in one day. So I think some of them get paid like $300 a show. So it's low.
Okay.
Typically a model, like when I do an actual photo shoot, I pay the models like anywhere between $2,000 to $5,000 to $10,000 a day, something like that.
Wait,
so it's like a lot.
That's really good.
Yeah. I mean, models are expensive, but you're shooting all day long. It's all work all day long. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
But so during swim week, so you pay the models, let's just say like roughly $300, something like that. And then we had a DJ. You have to get everything set up. We had a stylist. There's a fee for the venue. This one was at Paraiso.
Okay.
But I got like cut deals here and there. I think we spent like $50,000.
On it. And then how do you see the return? The impressions and marketing?
So let's take it back. So fashion shows in general are for wholesale. They're not, or for now, I guess you could say it's for like branding purposes. Like it's cool, it looks, and you get the photos and all that stuff. But typically a fashion show is so that brand buyers will come see it and buy for the next season.
Got it. And they're buying mass amounts.
And they're buying, there's levels to it. But then you want Nordstrom to see it and you want the buyer from Revolve to see it. And you want, you know, the biggest swim stores, Everything But Water, all of that. But we weren't in wholesale at the time. And so the wholesale side of a business is it's not completely different, but it's different than the direct to consumer. You're cutting your margins. There's all these things. You have crazy lead times where you need to prepare months before. So for us to do this show, to not really even be in wholesale, it was almost like counterintuitive. It was for the Siesta Key we were filming.
Got it.
So they helped with that, and we had it on the show and everything. In return, when that episode aired, it was another spike.
Yeah.
For business, but I mean, yeah, we lost $50,000 that month. Is how you look at it. We didn't make tons of money because then, I mean, you're really the buyers or the consumers really just seeing it on Instagram, the photos.
I would imagine wholesale would be like the play you'd want to go, right? I mean, your margins are less, but you're going to move massive.
And I'm working on that now. That's kind of where, but it's a whole other machine. You have to build your business out. You have to have someone within that sector. You have to have everything prepared at the factory much earlier. My business partner owns my factory, so we have like ability to maneuver things around and get things in quickly or create a collection really quickly, as opposed to like with wholesale, you need to get these things in much earlier. They're buying for the season in 9 months, you know,
because
it's much more prepared and there's so many more cooks in the kitchen rather than just I create something and I sell it to the consumer, you know? It's like there's all these other people involved.
I read something that said the organization in your house is a dictation of the organization in your life. And when we think about self-care, I want you to think about something you could do to improve your self-care, and I have it for you. The change is upgrading your sleep. Now you can do that with the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. The one-time upgrade will bring you years of better sleep wrapped in the most luxurious feeling imaginable. No matter the kind of day you had, you'll go into instant relaxation mode when you climb into these sheets. They are breathable, buttery soft, and they even get softer with every wash. Change the way you relax and sleep with Boll & Branch on their 30-night guarantee. So, Boll & Branch is ready for you. Now your choice to change the way you sleep is with them. Get 15% off plus free shipping on your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com/tradingsecrets. That's bollandbranch.com/tradingsecrets to get 15% off. bollandbranch.com/tradingsecrets. Exclusions apply. See sites for detail. Okay, we're going to get into the business of JMP. Before we do, reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
In your future...
I can't say.
That means yes.
Don't make me break my NDA.
You're
I'm just kidding.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Not. Have you filmed something or no? You don't have to say what. Just have you filmed or are you considered?
You have. I don't know. I hope I don't get in trouble for that.
I don't want you to get in trouble.
It is, well, let's just leave it at that. We're just going to leave it at that.
Is it with MTV?
No.
Wow. All right, let me ask one more. Is it?
Oh, God.
We can edit it out. We can edit it out.
No, I mean, I don't know. Let me read my contract.
Okay. You're going to read your contract and then the recap. We'll tease it.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
We'll talk more about it. Well, maybe we'll see you back on our screens again.
I lost an earring.
Oh, no. Where'd the earring go?
Right here. We're fine.
There you
I'll
go.
Put it back in
and
later.
You spent a lot on that earring, we know. So
no,
not
everything.
We don't want you to lose that one. All right, you got it back. So reality TV, question mark, sounds like maybe it's heating up.
Yeah.
We'll see about that. All right, let's get into your JMP, the label.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me when you started the business, like how much did you have to like raise or put in yourself to actually get the business up and going?
So I always, when I went on reality TV, one of the main reasons I ever wanted to do the show was because I had the longevity in mind of like, what am I going to create out of being a reality star? I didn't just want to be the crazy girl on TV, then be the washed up girl after. So I always had a dream of starting this, and I finally got it off the ground, I think 3 years into the show, 2021, we launched in March. And I have two business partners. We put in about $45,000 total. So nothing crazy that funded the first three collections. And then from March to December that year, I think we did, 1.4.
Wow.
I didn't like,
great.
I should probably, I think that's about, it's about 1.4. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Like not even a full year. So that was awesome. It was also 2021. As we can remember, it was a great year for the economy.
The bounce back.
The bounce back was wild.
And then where can you share around where you guys are today? Or can you not share that?
So, and then we did about double the next year.
Damn.
And then we've been kind of coasting at that same number.
Okay.
You know, so business is hard. You have to just know when you're getting into starting a company, you have to ride out the ups and downs. It's not always going to be a high. You have to make sure like you're not everything's going to go exactly the way you want, but you have to keep that drive with you. And I have this whole vision and, you know, we're working on it and everything, but it's not, you know, for people that don't understand, having a business that does in the millions in their first years, Amazing.
It's close to unheard of.
Yeah. It's usually you don't make money off a business for the first couple years.
Especially in apparel,
which looking back, for anyone that's wanting to start a business as well, I definitely think long and hard about where you see things in the future, because I love apparel for sure, but I feel like there's some things I maybe would have done, maybe, and I can always add more apparel, but I'm in a seasonal business. Mm. So I always have to account for that. And there's those months that you have to hit the ground running, and then months that are slow. And so
winter's got to be a slow.
It's slower. Right? And yeah. I mean, that's just how it is. But then, you know, that leads me into like, okay, how do I get into the Australian market? How do I get into Brazil? What's that looking like? And it's a little daunting, because that's a world I don't know. I don't know what Australia is like, and how do I get into Brazil, and what do they spend over there? Will they buy something that costs the amount of my product? You know, how do I get into those areas? So, yeah, but I think it's been an amazing journey, and I'm excited to continue to do it.
That's cool. What do you sell pieces for? How much?
A set would be, like, our crochet goes for like $98 a set. We sell it separately, and then we have one pieces that are like $130, but it varies depending on fabric typically.
Okay, so like 90-ish to $130. If you guys want to check out, where can people find the pieces?
jmpthelabel.com.
There you go.
Check us out on Instagram at jmpthelabel. And I love it. We really focus on making pieces for everybody, all sizes, and we really focus on our fit, how it fits every single body. I think a lot of brands don't do that as much. We fit on multiple models, and we have crochet that's made by women in Bali, like hand knit. It's stretchy, made of actual swim fabric, as opposed to crochet that's typically made of cotton. So that's kind of one of our differentiators.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Who is someone in the social media space or public figure space that has either worn your product or showcased it that you're most proud of?
Oh, God. I have some good ones.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so Sweetie just wore it a couple days ago.
No way.
Yeah, Sweetie. Wow. Lizzo was big.
Wow.
Lizzo was big.
Do you have to pay them to do that?
PR, yeah.
So how's it work? You just ship it to them and say a prayer?
Yeah, you ship it to them and you say a prayer. Exactly. So we got it on Beyonce once.
No way.
She didn't wear it in a photo, but I know that she wore it because her stylist came back asking for more sizes and asking for sizes for Blue Ivy, because we make kids too.
What? That's if you could have got a photo.
I know, but I know she does. She's not really, oh my gosh, I know. I had SZA.
Damn.
A couple days ago, or what, it was like last month.
And do you get a photo with those people?
Got them in photos.
And then do you repost it?
Yeah,
Okay.
Actually, Sweetie DM'd me back saying, loved your pieces.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, so that was really cool. Yeah, we've had a lot of influencers wearing it. The PR standpoint really is important.
Yeah.
Like, you want to get your pieces in the hands of stylists.
So that's the play then. You get it into stylists. Stylists will then get it into...
But what I will say, though, it doesn't necessarily... Like, when Sweetie wore it, we didn't get, like, $100,000 in orders, you know? It doesn't really work that way, but it's brand recognition.
And it's credibility,
right? Credibility, yeah.
Gotcha.
The summer season is mayhem. Eating unhealthy, going out, and then you get to the structured fall season and it's a lot more stressful. Those are two big contributing factors to your overall hair health. Your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. It could be your dating life, your diet, the juggling act that parenting can be, finding your rhythm and new routines, or even following your favorite sports team in an intense season. It could be almost anything that has almost nothing to do with hair. That's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside. Address the root causes of hair thinning with Nutrafol, the hair growth routine that keeps up with your life. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Trading Secrets. That's Nutrafol.com, Nutrafol.com, and use the code Trading Secrets. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Trading Secrets.
Yeah.
I mean, those are big, big names. Mm-hmm. So where do you take the company from here? What's next?
Oh my gosh. So like I said, I want to build out the wholesale sector a little bit. Okay. I have this business model, and I want to pick your brain on this. I have this business model in mind where I want to get funding for just a collection with a collaboration with, let's say, SZA. Right? So I get investors to invest in just this line. They make their money off just that. And then we blow it up, and it's the collaborator. So I can pay her. I feel like you would pay someone like her $150,000.
I'm thinking more.
Plus, you think more? Yeah. Plus commission.
Oh, if you give equity too. Yeah, or you give, yeah, percentage of sales.
Let's just say it wasn't an equity standpoint, right?
Yeah, just
like
you
just pay
sales.
A flat fee and then like 15% per item.
I think it's going to be more.
Do you think more?
Yeah. I'm thinking probably $250,000 at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think, what do you think about that? Like getting
investors, it's a great idea.
Just to invest in that.
I think, okay, so you get investors to invest in that. Mm-hmm. The money goes towards the fee to CISA.
And the cost of goods, because then you're going to be doing like triple what we would normally do, or probably more than triple.
Exactly.
Right.
And then you would go out and sell it. The problem is, if you look at the margins per unit, you would have to move a shit ton of units.
Yeah. That's a risk.
Yeah. I would probably do it with CISA, your company, and then a big sponsor. Like a big sponsor, because then the big sponsor is going to have the big dollars. And then you can do like, you could actually do an event where
with Poppy
or even go like a Fortune 100, Fortune 500.
Yeah.
And then you get models that are like very influential in whatever space or community it is.
That's interesting.
And then once you do the event, you get more sponsors there and the money actually comes from the sponsorships.
Ooh.
That's what all of them do. Like every, you know, we've worked really close with the shark from Shark Tank, Damon John's team, and they had to put on a big sponsorship for a big event. Mm-hmm. And that's where their money was coming from, not from ticket sales. And they gave JP Morgan the head title for free. So they went to, so they're like, we're gonna be the head title. Then once they had JP Morgan as the head title, because it was JP Morgan, Shark Tank, and Damon John, they were able to get like tons of other sponsors that brought in millions of dollars because everyone wants to follow the lead.
So explain to me this, like, so the party you went to is John and Vinny's, sponsored by Amex and Delta.
Yes.
What is Delta and Amex getting out of that?
They're getting,
because they're paying
for it. Okay, so so they're getting exposure to clients and internal employees and vendors and partners to go for, like, so it's like an entertainment factor. Then they also will have all social media people there, and anybody that has any form of influence at all, they will be taking content of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be making sure that content is distributed in like every single PR outlet out there. And when it's distributed, it's going to say Amex, Delta, everything like that, right?
Okay.
So it's just placement for media. And it's also like, ArtPuzzle is one of the biggest events in the country. So as a result of that, these brands have to now be here.
They
like
have
you kind of have to
and
be
it does
a player.
Look cool.
Yeah. So it's like if you have to be there now because your competitors are there, then you got to make a statement with it. And then it's like every event has like a certain level of like, I don't know.
It is tough out here for the events.
What do you mean?
You have to be like the coolest event. There's so many that the competition, you need to be like, you have to have the best DJ or like,
people putting the events together.
Yeah.
Oh, we went to a Chance the Rapper event. He performed for three songs for 9 minutes and left.
That's insane.
So that whole event, they built it around Chance the Rapper is going to be there. Chance the Rapper. 9 minutes off. Everyone was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That's what we got. And I was thinking about
it takes us an hour to get there. Like,
remember Arizona? That's a good one.
Which one? Oh. For Drake? Yeah, we went to a Drake event.
Oh, yeah.
Only 2,500 people were there. Drake put on a private concert.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Okay, so like, I went to the Beyonce concert in Dubai. Were you there in Dubai?
Yeah, Dubai. Yeah.
That was insane, though. Yeah. She actually performed
you
for
were
like,
there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There was so many people there.
Yeah. I didn't know. Okay.
But that was actually a real concert. I figured it would be something where she would only perform for two songs. She did like an entire concert.
It was an unbelievable.
It was
show.
Incredible.
Jay-Z was up there. All the kids
I know
were there.
He was above me. Were you like next to me?
Yeah, then? I was gonna say that's weird. I didn't know you were there.
Yeah,
we were right next to each other.
A lot of people were there. It was Bachelor Nation,
but like not really. Like,
I saw who was there.
Matt James was there. Tayshia, and then Cassie Randolph. That was it from Bachelor Nation.
Oh really?
Oh, and Rachel Kirkconnell. Yeah.
Okay.
That was a random group though.
That is random.
Not Thatcher, but like the other people. I was like, how did they pick people for this?
Yeah.
We did a whole episode on that Dubai trip. It was nuts.
Insane.
It was nuts. All right. Yeah. We got to wrap up here because we got places to go. You got events to go. You got to go sling your bathing suits all over. We're going to have you back on after whatever's coming up. Sounds like sounds like you might be on a show. I don't know, but we're going to have you back on if you are. But before we do, we got to wrap up with a trading secret. So something special to you, Juliet, your experience that no one else could get from, let's say, a professor or TikTok or YouTube tutorial.
Ooh, a lot of pressure.
Only your experience, a trading secret. What can you leave the listeners with?
I would say you have to do everything with the truest form of who you are. You have to stay true to what you really believe and what you feel. And with that will come success. As long as you truly believe in what you're doing and what you're saying, your life will be exactly what you want it to be.
I like it. And then another one I think I'll take away, live with no regrets.
Yes.
And if you're feeling it and you're thinking it, maybe just say it.
Yes.
Something I got to work on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll wrap up with that. Where can everyone find everything you have going on? The bathing suits.
My Instagram is Juliet Porter, and my bikini brand is JMP The Label.
There you go. Go check it out. Buy a bathing suit. And Juliet, we will have you back on maybe here in the future. We'll see what's going to happen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Ding, ding, ding. We are closing the bell with the one and only The Curious Canadian on the Juliet Porter episode. And I know, David, you're watching Perfect Match right now. So what'd you think?
Yeah, it was great to have her on. Honestly, she's coming from Siesta Key. Wasn't a Siesta Key guy, a little out of my realm. Jersey Shore to the core. Jersey Shore came up when we were in college. We were invested. Siesta Key, kind of the spinoff, I would say, Florida version of it. What I will say is, Jay, I get on this podcast, I rip it with you, me and you, we rip the ones and twos. We speak off the rip. Well, I'm 38 years old. I still get a little nervous of maybe about how some things maybe have come across, but maybe some people say in the reviews. She's 17 years old doing a pilot for Siesta Key. Can we start there? 17 years old doing a pilot for Siesta Key, 19 years old. She gets a call. She's at FSU. She's bang in the midst of a 5-season reality TV show on MTV. I thought my biggest takeaway was that her approach to reality TV as a young age, like, was pretty boss. Like, it was a pretty bossy mentality that I think she was able to really calibrate all the things that she was stepping into and capitalize on them. So I learned a lot this episode because, to be honest, I didn't really know much about her leading into it.
I'll tell you this, 1 year of being in reality TV, it's like 10 years of living based on all the different things that you learn through the process. So for her to do that at the age of 17 is unbelievable. It's a testament probably to her growth. And I'm sure if we asked her, she would be like, yes, I'm like a cat, 9 lives. I've seen it all at a short period of time.
And I just loved how she said, like, she knew even going on at 19, like, she wanted to be have longevity and take something out of it. And that's what she got talked about, her JMP swimsuit line. And I did love the questions that you asked, like biggest struggle or success in her personal life, professional life, and her financial life from being on the show. And I just thought she gave really good context about, you know, how there's no separation from navigating your personal life and your business life. And when, you know, you're crying or your boyfriend's cheating on you, as much as you don't want the world to see this, she's like, you know what? If it's going to happen, at least it's happening where I'm getting clicks out of it and people are talking about me more. Now it's my responsibility to kind of capitalize on it. So in a weird way, I guess I thought, a pretty matured approach to the kind of drama that her Siesta Key has been about, but also the reality of how she's turning into her business and for all intents and purposes, doing pretty well, right?
I mean, look at the names that have worn her clothing. Like, I mean, that's unbelievable. And it sounds like, just in general, like, it's a tough business when you're selling any form of apparel. You heard her talk about it, the SKUs, the profitability, you know, now based on where it's manufactured, potential tariffs, things like that. Like, there's so many moving parts. But for her to be able to have some of the players that have worn her gear, that's just remarkable.
And she's doing $1.2 million in revenue in year one, and like you said, to have a business do $1 million in your first year, doesn't matter what you're selling, is incredible. Doubled that in year two, and she said it's kind of been status quo from that. So to have a status quo side business that's bringing in $2 million in revenue in year, she kind of focuses on what's next. But pretty incredible stuff. But yeah, the meat of it, go ahead.
I'm just gonna say, like, I'm pretty sure the beat of this is She's been in reality TV for so long. She's created an unbelievable business. She showcases so much, I would say, poise through all that, given all the mayhem. And she's still back in it. So before we go to Perfect Match, I'm curious, what was like your biggest learning lesson from her? What was the trading secret you took away from Juliet?
Yeah, I think that I don't want to say everything happens for a reason, but if everything is happening, make sure that there's a reason it's happening, if that makes sense, right? So everyone says everything's happening for a reason, and that's just kind of a bailout excuse that they can maybe, you know, use as if bad luck's happening or good things are happening. But I think everything happens for a reason. As her is like, okay, if this is happening, how do I capitalize on it? And I think that goes back to her, you know, like she was talking about the narrating from Siesta Key and how she capitalized on that. If she's going to do it, she's got to capitalize on it. You know, all the bad things that were happening to her on the show, how, you know, as uncomfortable as I am for the world seeing that, how am I capitalizing on it? She talked about spending $4,000 on an outfit for Art Basel. And even though it was the most expensive thing she's ever purchased, she puts it on her LTK and she said, I hope someone purchases it. Just as a side note, does that mean that she buys that, puts it on her LTK, and someone buys the exact dress that she's wearing, or is it a link to it, or and she gets commission? How does the LTK game work for something like that?
So for the agency, majority of the deals that we're doing are going to be brand partnerships and collaborations through Fortune 500 companies, and they're going to be fee-based. Now, what is huge in the influencer community right now, especially with micro-influencers, but all the way up to macro as well, is affiliate marketing. And affiliate marketing is getting paid off of what you are linking specifically to either Amazon or LTK or ShopMy. And we actually have the LTK founder coming on this podcast. David, but awesome. How that will work is like she'll put her outfit up, and if someone buys it, she will get a percentage of the cost of the dress in commission back to her.
Okay.
And there maybe we should get someone. You guys let us know. Give us 5 stars in the ratings and let us know if we should have someone who does affiliate only marketing. But there are some people that do affiliate only influencer partnerships because they might not have the following to get the big Fortune 500 deals, and they'll make, you know, 10, 20, 30, sometimes $40,000-$50,000 a month if they're really having strong link clicks with good pull through on the actual purchases.
I want to see that episode because there are people that I have followed that are friends of mine or people that I've come across in just living life that I follow on Instagram. Micro influencer would maybe be like a generous way of putting it. We're talking like 2,500, 3,500 followers, but they're posting like LTK stuff daily. And I'm like, are you making money off that? And they've been doing it for years. There's one person in particular, I won't drop handles here, but they're literally 3,500 followers, been posting LTK stuff for 5 years. I need to know daily. I need to know if that person's profitable, and I need the founder on to tell me.
That I will tell you this. That's you. Anybody could do it, but that's a huge commitment for the likelihood of the conversion you're getting.
Okay.
Right. Because I'll give you this. If you get 2.5 to 5% conversion of the people that are viewing your story, that's incredible. So if you have 100,000 people looking at your story and you get 2,500 to 5,000 link clicks, that just gets them to the link. That's incredible. And if you're able to pull through, let's say, even 10% of that, so 5,000 link clicks, you can get 500 purchases. That's like off the charts good. So that's at 100,000 views. And if someone who's getting 100,000 views probably has close to 500,000 plus following, because your view rate should be anywhere from like 10% plus of your actual followers. So that gives you a little perspective.
Okay, good. Well, looks like we're queuing up a nice future episode here, nonetheless, LTK style. But let's get to the meat of it. Perfect match. I would love to talk about Julia Porter and Perfect Match, but I mean, the headlines of Perfect Match, I mean, Clayton and Rachel, I don't want to dive too much into that, but if you can't get Perfect Match around my face right now, across my screen, and not mention that, what a clusterfuck, I believe is the word that I'd like to use for that situation. Whoa, is all I got to say. Whoa.
So I haven't seen the episodes that you're referring to, but I've seen little clips, and it does seem like right now Clayton's getting cooked. For anyone that hasn't seen this, can you kind of give us the rundown, like summarize what is happening on Perfect Match right now?
Yeah,
is the show that Julia Porter is now back on, to tie it back to this episode.
Long story short, and Bachelor Nation, this will really hit home for Bachelor Nation. You know, Clayton obviously didn't have the best go. Let's say it, his season is the lead, the Gabby, Rachel, I was intimate with you both. I said, I love you to both. And then he goes and picks Susie, and doesn't even pick those two. And so he kind of gets them to entrust in him, burns them, goes to Susie. Obviously that relationship doesn't work. Clayton decides he's making this huge, and he's done a really good job, I feel, and kind of like working on himself and getting his likability back. And he's doing the dances and he's feeling really good about himself. And I view them. I like them. I think that they're great, to a point where he's, you know, back on the TV reality dating series. I think the redemption arc is there. It's right there. And he decides to match with Rachel an hour into her being there and kind of says, like, you know, play on fate. Like, this is, we should do this. Like, this is, we're both changed people. We've learned so much. They sleep on it. The next day he dumps her. He gives the intuition speech. I trust my intuition. That's
so
fine.
He asked her to, like, pretty much match, and then she didn't, or she accepted it, and then the next day he dumped her.
She accepted it with a little bit of hesitation, but a little bit like, wow, like, maybe this is a sign, and probably just, like, you know, overwhelmed in the situation. And then, you know, right away, like 24 hours later, he just knows. He's so certain, which is just such a flashback for our Bachelor people who have the visuals of him standing there basically dumping these girls. And that, look, that's reality TV dating. You want to go in there, you're going to get dumped, you're going to match, you're going to do these things. The crazy part to me is just the, you know, he's defending. He's not waving the white flag. He is on the podcasts. He is defending himself. And
what is his defense? What? Because obviously I see why people are pretty much like, you know, once shame on me, twice shame on you.
Yeah.
Like, why? What's his defense? What is his response?
His defense is that, you know, I understand why people might not have liked it, but he's just defending his actions and his feeling, which he's entitled to. But I just wish I could poke him on the shoulder and be like, dude, read the room. Even if you are right in your words, and it makes sense to you, there's just too much out there on the internet and too much trauma from people seeing you do this to this exact person before, let alone many people before, that it's like, just sit this one out, man. And people, you know, you still have people cheering you on out there. So that has been crazy. You know, Juliet is on it. She's in it. And you know what? I was just on vacation for 10 days. I got back 36 seconds ago before we podcast. And so I need to do some catching up on how Juliet's really taken off on the show. But I know from some clips that I've seen, there's no shortage of attention. Let's just say that. I think Juliet is a hot commodity down there. I feel like the guys are referencing her to as a baddie. And a baddie in today's world means someone who's not only physically attractive, but commands a room, is a little intimidating because, you know, you can't, you know, play games with them. She's a baddie. She's successful. And she's popular on the show. So, on my binge watch this week, it's to see, cause I haven't even seen the Clayton and Rachel thing. I've just been consuming clips. And so I need to sit down and get in the meat of it. Cause I've only watched the first two episodes. So I'm ready to get in it.
All right. Perfect match. David's ready to get into it. Maybe I'll have to watch this season and we'll have to have a guest or two on. I do know a few of these people that are on there.
Jay, you might have to watch a season because you might have to ask yourself, you might have to really watch the season and just say, what if I was there? Was that ever a possibility, Jay? Wink, wink.
That was a possibility, but that's not in my future. So,
all right. If we're playing the 10 out of 10, 10, I was that close to doing it. One, I got the call and I never thought about it. How far down the process were you?
If I get a phone call, I'm going to explore. Okay. I'm never going to not explore.
Yeah.
So I explored, but as far as,
Did you return a phone call?
Had conversations.
You set up another phone call. So this is a four course meal. We're doing bread, appetizer.
Also not like
entree.
Entree. We had conversations, but
didn't quite get to the entree. You ate the butter at the table. Yeah, you had the appetizer, and then
I don't know that show would serve me well. For many reasons.
Yeah.
You agree with that? Would you, if I came to you and said, I was going to go on that show, what would you say?
Well, you did come to me and you didn't say you were going on the show. You got my expert advice, which steered you in the right direction.
Big no.
The weird thing about that show is that they film it like a year prior too. So, it is all time always been the worst reality TV show at people keeping a secret of what happens because it's so long after and they're already dating new people. Like Lewis is on the show, is already dating Huda, who was on Love Island season 7. Before it
That's way too long. Where Love Island's like out. Instant.
Correct. That's why LeBron's the GOAT. And that's why people, they get the big following, because people want to see right when they get under the villa what's happening.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, anything else on Juliet, perfect match, or anything in this episode?
No. No, I thought, and also, like, kind of crazy small world. I feel like you guys, as the episode went along, maybe had a little more in common than you thought. You both had the Beyonce performance. I thought, you know, you guys were doing, what I did really like is kind of a little live business pitch here with the swimsuit line, like how she's saying she wanted to bring in, you know, one of these celebrities and get investors on one of the swimsuit lines. And then you were kind of like saying, like, no, like, it's going to cost you this much. And instead of getting investors, just do a sponsorship version. And I liked that. That was fun. That was like we were in the middle of a little rewired talent pitch there with some business planning ideas. So I just love to see her brain work and think. You know, I thought it was really, really impressive episode.
I love it. Well, I appreciate you giving us your breakdown. Juliet killed it. She's killing it on Perfect Match. Her swimsuit line's on fire. Make sure to go check that out. And I'll have to tune into Perfect Match and see what this season's all about. Maybe we'll have to have a guest or two on from the show and we'll see what happens. But David, anything before we wrap?
No, I'm good. Good to be back on US soil. Had a great time in Canada. Shout out to my family, my Canadian people. But ready to rock here. Ready to back to be on the ones and twos.
It's a big week here in New York City. I'm doing a little Amazon live work with Rob Gronkowski. We got Tommy DeVito from the New York Giants doing a progressive call with him, and he'll be on. We're doing some ad work together. He'll be on the podcast. And then we got an event I'm hosting in New York City with Chime Banking, all about love and money. We are doing, so I'm hosting it, but they're doing a singles, what do you call it when you're
speed dating
on love and money. So it's a big week ahead. And let me tell you what, next week's episode is a big one. So tune in to Trading Secrets. Make sure to follow us. And thank you for tuning into another episode of Trading Secrets, one you couldn't afford to miss.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.